Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is New Mexico State University graduate in psychology, Jessie Lael. She's a concerned resident and advocate in helping end the rape kit backlog in New Mexico. New Mexico has approximately 5,400 untested rape kits, some dating back to the 1980s. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. When and how was this backlog of rape kits discovered in New Mexico?
At the end of last year, around November, Tim Keller, state auditor for the state of New Mexico, ended up getting a report from a SANE nurse, a sexual assault nurse examiner, that walked into one of the jurisdictions where rape kits were being stored and saw all of these backlog kits that hadn't been tested. And what ended up happening was Tim Keller picked up the case because it's an inventory issue and he has unique jurisdiction over that, and started counting all of the kits across the state that hadn't been tested. So the rape kit backlog was originally discovered at the end of last year, but it's been an ongoing investigation from the state auditor's office to actually uncover how many rape kits are out there untested.
Let's talk about, what are some of the myths about rape and why do victims not report it?
Frequently, women are asked what they were wearing when they were sexually assaulted. This is absolutely irrelevant to the sexual assault itself. What you're wearing is never the defining factor in why a rape occurs. Rape is a crime of violence. It's a crime of control. It's frequently premeditated. So the majority of rapes that occur are by people that the victim already knew. This means that there's always a chance for premeditation in that. And if you can think of four women that you know in your life, at least one of them has been sexually assaulted or raped.
You yourself were raped and you didn't report it.
I did not. I ultimately did not report my rape because I felt very unsupported. The friends that I had on the camping trip where I was raped, they chose to believe my attacker over me, and they chose to really make me feel like I was a liar, that my story didn't matter, that what happened against me didn't matter. And without the support of the majority of my friends on that camping trip, I couldn't even conceptualize what the support from the police department would be. If I had people who were unwilling to testify, what chance did I have to find any justice for myself in filing a report?
How long ago was that?
This happened in 2011.
So it still took you a while, though, to be able to talk about it. And now that you become an advocate in helping to end this rape kit backlog.
I became an advocate really because of how long it took me to talk about it. I had a lot of emotional and post-traumatic stress-related issues following the rape. So I couldn't go camping for 2 years after I was assaulted. I had very difficult times forming emotional attachments with partners. That took a number of years to get over. It's something I actually still struggle with today. But I became involved because I was tired of feeling like my voice was being silenced by my fear. It's one thing to go into an advocacy situation not really having been affected or personally touched by what the subject matter is. But when you can go into it with an understanding of how the people this all affects feel, how you felt, how you can help other people, that's where I really wanted to come from. And that's where I wanted to really approach this subject.
Well, let's talk about more of the myths. Now, this doesn't happen just to young people, right?
No. So the age range where rapes most frequently occur is between 18 and 35. The majority of rapes occur in that age range. But children are also sexually assaulted at a larger proportion than anyone over the age of 35.
And then in senior homes, I've heard of people over 65.
That is also true. It's probably about 7%. I believe, incidence rate of elder rape occurrences.
So let's go back to these rape kits, these untested rape kits. where I think what 75% are up in northern New Mexico in Bernalillo County?
The majority, yes. And Albuquerque also has a large number of rape kits. The problem with processing those is that Albuquerque, due to its large metropolitan size, has its own DNA testing facilities, whereas the rest of the state, all of the DNA testing goes through Santa Fe.
So here in Las Cruces, in Doñana County, all of that goes through Santa Fe.
That is correct.
Now, how can we begin to end this backlog?
Really, I'm impressed with what Tim Keller has done so far. He acted very quickly to ascertain the actual number of rape kits we had in the state that are backlogged. He has a phenomenal team. Connie Monahan, a SANE nurse, she is working with him, and she has been in constant communication with me and has done a wonderful job making me feel like I've been involved in the process. And then we also have wonderful victim support services in southern New Mexico that have been lending a hand and raising awareness, like La Pinon in Las Cruces. So really, so far, we've made really good progress. There's going to be a report coming out this fall. The latest I heard, it's going to be in November that this report is released, and that will have recommendations on how to move forward with actually resolving the rape kit through legislative means.
And what about the relevance to this community, especially here at New Mexico State University? School is just starting up. We have a lot of new students coming in.
So about one out of every three rapists have a prior felony conviction, not necessarily for another rape, but for a violent crime, a felony of some description. And about 50% of every 1,000 rapists, so about 500, have been convicted of a single rape prior minimum. And when you have situations where you have 50% out of 1,000 people who are rapists committing crimes against a population for students where 80 to 90% don't report it, that's a huge public safety issue. That's a huge safety issue for campus students that need to feel safe in their dorms. It's critical to learning to feel like you have a safe environment to be in.
And what would you tell a new student coming in?
I don't know if I would necessarily have any advice about sexual assault from NMSU. I personally have never really felt unsafe on campus. But I would recommend making sure that you're in charge of your body and that you handle yourself responsibly. You want to make sure that you are making decisions independent of peer pressure. You want to make sure that you are, unfortunately, a lot of times this is the case, you should be watching your drink, and you should be making sure that the people you're hanging out with are a group of people you know will love and support you. And I feel like that's one of the mistakes that I made, is that I don't think I was really choosing people that loved and supported me. And I want to clarify that I'm not blaming myself in this. I still feel that the blame firmly lies on my friends, so-called, that did not end up supporting me. But it is a lot of decision-making that you have to make. So it's a lot of responsibility you take for yourself. And part of what I'm doing for the community and trying to advance this issue's visibility with is I've created a fundraiser called In the Backlog in New Mexico, and it's happening on August 19th. So what this is going to do is it's going to provide monetary funding for Southern New Mexican victims and advocates to travel up to the legislature to petition the Roundhouse for more funding to end the backlog so we can process all these backlogged rape kits. And then also to provide funding, hopefully permanent funding, for victim services across the state.
And again, this benefit dinner will be at Picacho Peaks Brewery's Ballroom, 3900 Picacho Avenue, Friday, August the 19th from 5 to 8:30 p.m. with dinner and a live show by Smooth Groove, a jazz quintet. You'll have a silent auction, and also proceeds, again, as you said, will be used for transporting New Mexican victims and advocates to the legislature. Now, there's a band also after 9 o'clock.
Yeah, so we actually are doing a two-part event. So the dinner is, like you said, from 6:30 to 8, and then at 9 p.m. we're going to have a concert on the foyer for $6 door cost, and it's going to be Dancing Francis, and that's comprised of Nisha, Meg, Robin, and Victoria, Bourbon on the Rocks, which is Chris Smith and the Damn Union, and then Allah with the Damn Union, and that is comprised of Andrew, Chavo, Budlong, Aaron, and then my friend Larry.
Now, you have a website for this as well?
Yes, you can go on Facebook, and it's / in the backlog, NNM, and that is NM as in New Mexico.
But also, is there a website that you can find out more about these untested rape kits?
There is. So the website inthebacklog.com has nationwide statistics about the rape kit backlogs in every state across America and what process they are taking and at what point in that process they are at in fixing the backlog.
Well, I really appreciate you coming down to KRWG, being a bridge to the community, and you're definitely a concerned resident and advocate in helping end the rape kit backlog. So Jesse Lael, an MSU graduate in psychology, thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.